Today's Shir Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, the Gemara taught us the halacha that Nizik Metaplim Benevela, Balam Metaplim Benevela, that if an animal was damaged and the animal still has some value, some residual value, the halacha is that the nizik, the one that owns the animal, has to take that animal. And of course, the balance of the damage has to be paid by the mazik. Not only is that the halacha, but as we learned in our previous year, the Gemara quoted three psukim to teach us that so is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Kahana L'Rav, Tam Dekos Rachmona, the reason that this is the halacha, that so is the halacha, because the Torah taught us Tam the Kosev Rachmana, because the Pasuk says Vameis Yeloi, indicating that the Nizik is still held responsible for this animal. Halav Hachi, says the Gemara, had we not have that Pasuk, Havamina, would we say, asked the Gemara, Nevel the Mazikui, would we say that the Mazik is the one that has to get the Nevela? Let's ask the Gemara. As we learned previously, hashta islay l'day kamatrefus. As we discussed, if the mazik has to pay the nizik, and the mazik owns trefa animals, so the halacha is that yovle, that's what he pays, that's what he is able to use to pay the nizik. As we've learned on Dav Zayinam and Aleph, the pasuk says kesev yoshev lebalov. And from that pasuk, we learned Yoshev Larabbis, Shava Kesav Filasubin, that the Mazik could even pay just, the Mazik could even pay Subin. So the day, the Nevela that belonged to the Nizik, and yes, this terrible situation came up, is there a need for a pasuk to tell us that Mibayi, that the Nizik should be responsible to keep it? Answers, the Gemara, Lainitzcha, what the Gemara is speaking about, Lepchas Nevela. If the Nevela deteriorated and it went down in value from what it was at the time of death. The question is, who takes that loss? And what the Psukim we're learning teaches us that loss belongs to the Nizik. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that from the time of the damage, we assess what the animal's worth at that moment. And if it goes down a value, that's at the Nizik's lost. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. There are Rishonim that disagree with that approach. Because how's the Nizik to know what it was worth at the time of the accident and how much it went down? Says the Rosh that it only counts from the time that the Nizik becomes aware of what it was worth, that there was an accident. But if there was an accident, and the Nizik isn't aware of that accident, he's not held responsible until he becomes aware of it, and then we say, you should take it, you should sell it, you should do whatever you have to do. So I saw the Divrei Cheskel has a very interesting approach, how to understand the Machloikus Rishonim, what is the basis of the halacha b'chas nevela? And once we understand the halacha b'chas nevela, we'll be able to understand how to evaluate it. One way of looking at it, it's a halacha in tashlum. It's a way that the Torah gives the mazik to pay to the nizik. But of course, if it's a way that the Torah gives the mazik to pay the nizik, the nizik has to be aware that he's owed that money to come take care of it and collect it and sell it and not let it deteriorate anymore. But if we learn that's not a halacha in Tashlumim, it's a halacha in Nezikin, that there's a new halacha that as much as we learn Hilchas Nezikin, which what we're learning, there is a separate din that when we speak about Nezikin, there's a din of that the Bailim Metaplim Benevela. So it doesn't make a difference if he knew or he didn't know. We look at the moment that happened. Says the Gemara, or suggest the Gemara, Lema, maybe we should say that this issue that we just raised about Pachas Nevela actually is Machloikus Tanoihi, the Tanya. The Torah speaks about when somebody paid a Shayim Socher to take care of an animal, and while he was taking care of the animal was hit, was destroyed. The Pasuk says, Im Tarif Yitarif Yuveyu Aid. Yuveyu Aidim Shnitrifa Be'ainus. The Shayim Socher should bring Aidim that what happened here was an Ainus. And as we learned, as we will learn, a Shai Masach is Potter for Einsam, he'll be Potter. But Abishol Eimer, Yavi Aduda LeBezdin. Abishol says that we should bring this Nevela to Bezdin. What is the Machlaikas suggesting? My Labahokamufki, that the Machlaikas is the mass of a Pachas Nevela, the Nizakavi. It's the Nizak who has to get that value. And therefore, we have to bring this Nevela to Bezdin to make that determination before it starts deteriorating. Or mass of the Mazakava. It's not the Nizik's responsibility, it's the Mazik's responsibility, and therefore there's no need to bring it to Bezdin. Says Marloy, it's not necessary to say that that's the Machloikus. Rather, the Kuleyama, everybody's in agreement, the Nizik, that the Pachas Nevela belongs, is the Nizik's. That the deterioration in value is the Nizik's issue. V'hochop, the Machloikus here is B'tayrich Nevela Kamiflgi. Whose job is to bring the Nevela from Bezdin, from where this accident took place, to Bezdin? The Abishol says that even if we'll say that the Pachas Nevela goes to the, even if we'll say the Pachas Nevela goes to the Nizik, but Bezdin has to make an assessment here. And how can Bezdin make an assessment? The only way Bezdin can make the assessment is bringing the Nevela to Bezdin. So Abishol's opinion is that the Mazik has to bring it, and that's what's meant when Abishol said Yovi Aduda. Tanakama holds that it's the Nizik. Says the Gemara, Vatanya. Here Vatanya is a raya, not a question. Achem Omrim, Minayin Shabala Shor Lahalas Hashami Borei. Similar situation, if an animal fell into the bar that somebody dug, who is responsible to take that animal out of the bar? That besides that the mazik has to pay, he has to also take care of bringing up the mazik. The Rosh explains that what does this mean when the Gemara is saying that the mazik has to bring it? It's machlokes rishonim. The Rosh's opinion is that the actual bringing of the animal is the responsibility of the Nizik. What the Gemara here means to say, says the Rosh, that who's going to have to pay for the transportation of bringing the animal to Bezdin? That's going to be the responsibility of the Mazik. But the actual bringing of the animal will be the Nizik's responsibility. The Rambam disagrees. That the Rambam says that it's the Mazik's responsibility not only to pay for the transportation to Bezdin, but to actually bring it to Bezdin. There's also Machloikis, if the Mazik refused to, according to this opinion, the Rambam's opinion, that he has to be the one to bring it. And the Mazik's refusing to bring it, and it keeps on going down in value because he refused to bring it. So the Smaz opinion is that as it keeps on going down in value, that will be the Mazik's loss. The Taz explains that just because he isn't paying for what he's supposed to pay, but at the end of the day, everybody agrees, as we're learning in our Gemara, Balam Ataplam Benevela. So at a certain point, we can't force the Mazik to pay for everything. Amalei Abai Larova, Hai Tarich Nevela. This pasuk that you said that we're speaking of, that teaches us that the obligation of the nevela is on the mazik hechidami, or maybe the nizik hechidami. Exactly, the Gemara wants to know what is the case that the Gemara is speaking about. Ilam bebira shav azuzah, that in the pit the animal's worth azuz vagud shavi arva, and outside it's worth four zuz. So ask the Gemara. So kitarik, but the nafshitarik, certainly it should be the mazik's responsibility to bring it up. Because the mazik, by bringing up, will profit that the animal is more valuable. And says the Gemara loy tzricha. The case here is that the animal, bira shav yezuzah, in the pit, it's worth a zuz, and a good is shav yezuzah. So he has nothing to gain. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? How could we possibly assume that it'll have the same value when it's laying in the pit versus when you already extracted it? Mi ikikai gavna, answers the Gemara, in. The harmi inchi, that there's an expression that people say, kshur b'masa zuzah, a beam is worth a zuz in the city, and kshur b'davra b'zuzah. And even when it's in the field, it's worth a zuz. Now obviously, when it's in the city, which where I want it to be, because I need the beam, it's much more valuable to me than when it's out in the field and I have to transport it. So why is it the same price? Because the answer is that in most, just the way I understand the Gemara, in many businesses, the cost of transporting whatever has to be transported is part of doing business. And since it's considered a part of doing business, the person who is and when you say, well, I don't need transportation, they're not going to give you a discount for that. And therefore, the extraction doesn't make it that more valuable or less valuable. So says the Gemara, we've just finished learning the halacha about the taplin b'nevela, which means that the nevela, the dead animal, belongs to the nizik, and the mazik has to pay the difference what it went down in value because it was the victim of this accident. Amar Shmuel, to which Shmuel says, ain't shomim when it comes loy laganav loy gazlan el nazikin. What it means is that if somebody stole something and now what he stole is no longer alive, the animal is dead, he stole a utensil which is no longer usable, we don't look at what it's currently worth, but rather he has to pay the entire value of what broke or died, and he keeps the broken keli, he keeps the dead animal. And says the Gemara, and Shmuel continues, v'ani oima af l'shoyel, he says, so too's the halacha by somebody who borrowed something, and he says, v'abba moideli, but the Gemara doesn't know what that meant yet. So Rashi and Tosis explain the Gemara, as we just explained the Gemara, that unlike by damage, by Geneva and Gezela, you pay according to what it's currently worth. You paid what it was worth, and the difference is not on the is not the problem of the victim; it's the problem of the ganav. So many Rishonim ask a question. We learned the Braisa. We began the Masechta with the Arba Avos Nezikin. And then the Gemara quoted a Braisa Reb Chiya and a Braisa Reb Oishia that said that there are many more than just the four Avos Nezikin. And the Gemara said that two of the examples of Nezikin that aren't necessarily mentioned in our Mishnah, but are considered Nezikin, are Ganef Gazlan. So now there's a very obvious question. If we're saying that by Nezikin, as we've been learning already for two shiurim, the halacha is the baal metaplin b'nevela, and we're also learning that geneva and gezela are forms of nezikin, so why are geneva and gezela different? So Tosfos, this is a question that the Rashbam asks, and the Rashbam says, indeed, the halacha by geneva and gezela ought to be like by all nezikin, but there's a special pasuk that teaches us that so is not the halacha. Another pshat that the Machna Ephraim says that the Torah is much stricter by ganef and a gazlan versus a mazik. So the way I understand the Machna Ephraim means to say that of course if somebody damaged somebody else's property, he has to pay, as we're learning in our Masechta, whatever the payment obligation is. But having said that, the halacha is that if he doesn't have the ability to pay, so the halacha tells us what he should do. The halacha is lenient until he have the ability to pay. A ganef and gazlan, the Torah doesn't give that person that type of leniency. He has to go out of his way. He has to go out of his way to pay back what he stole. And included in that halacha that he has to go out of his way to pay back what he stole is also included the halacha of Ein Shomer Leganav. So, Tosfos asks, we learned in today's shiur and previous shiurim that since the Torah says Kesev Yoshev Lebalev, so since the halacha is Kesev Yoshev Lebalev, we learn you can even pay back with Subin. You could pay back with inferior material. So why shouldn't be the halacha that the ganef should also be able to pay back with subin? And the dead animal, the mazik, the ganef, should be able to tell the victim, this dead animal is what I'm paying you back with, based on Kesef Yoshev Lebalev. So Tosfos answers, the pasuk that says that if somebody steals from somebody else, he has to return what he stole, says, v'heshiv, as a gzeila shagazel. The Torah, by saying the words v'heshiv gzeila shagazel, says Tosfos, says that you have to pay back what you stole, and if you don't have the ability to pay back what you stole, you have to give back something similar. And therefore, giving back a dead animal or giving back a broken vessel is not giving back similar to what you stole. Of course, the Rosh says that if he'll say, well, I don't want to give back an animal, but I want to give back cash. So we've learned this concept more than once already in our shiurim. The cash is always considered something that is excellent, and he could choose to pay back cash. But ask the Rishonim, we've said that metaltlin is always considered meitav. It's always considered idyos, because you can always sell the metaltlin, if not here, somewhere else. So why shouldn't you be able to pay back with Subin and sell it elsewhere? Says the Gedul Shmuel that to pay back with Subin is only an option. So he has a little different knetch. He says that there are going to be times that a person who stole and has to repay could give Subin. And by saying that he could give back Subin, what we're actually saying is that he could give back, I'll be able to give back this dead animal, this broken vessel. But says the Gedul Shmuel, that option is only an option in a case where the ganef doesn't have cash or he doesn't have a vessel or animal equivalent to what he damaged. But in a case where he does have that, The halacha tells him, especially by ganef and gazlan, given the way we've been explaining in our shiur, that his only option is to pay that and not to pay anything else. So the Sefer Mishpatei Torah has a very interesting question. Reuven broke into Shimon's car, but Reuven doesn't know how to drive, so he asks Levi, who's passing by, could you drive this car? Levi did not drive carefully, and he got into a very bad accident. So now the question is, when Levi comes to pay, who is his din Torah with? Is he din Torah with Reuven? Because Reuven is the one that gave him the car, and Reuven says, I asked you to drive the car, but of course I asked you to drive the car responsibly. Or is his din Torah with the person who owns the car, with Shimon? So the Mishpatei Torah says that if Levi was not aware that this was a stolen car, Reuven told Levi, this car belongs to me. And he said, but he asked him, for whatever reason, I can't drive the car. Could you please drive the car? So in that case, Levi is considered a mazik. And in this Gemara, based on this Gemara, he says, there's going to be a very significant difference in halacha if Levi is considered a mazik or Levi is considered a ganif. Because if Levi is considered a mazik, so our Gemara just said, in a case of a mazik, you only pay back, you give back the broken item that got broken, that got whatever, and you have to pay the difference. If, however, Levi was aware that this car that he was stolen, that he was driving, was a stolen car, so by being aware that it's a stolen car, that makes him into a ganif. And since he's considered a ganif, therefore, he has to pay for the whole value of car, and he could keep this damaged car. But this is an interesting question, because even if he's aware that it's stolen, this will we say here, why don't we say, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira? He didn't know, he didn't do the stealing, he did the driving. So the answer is that since, explains the Mishpatei Torah, since Reuven wasn't able to drive the car, so Levi driving the car is not just that Levi is driving a stolen car. Levi becomes an accessory to what happened here. And once Levi becomes an accessory to what happened here, that means Levi himself is a ganif. And if Levi himself is a ganif, he'll have to pay, he'll have to take that car and give the person who owned the car the entire value of the car. So when Shmuel told us this difference between a ganif and a gazlan versus nezikin, he said one more statement. But we didn't know what it meant. So now the Gemara immediately asked that question. What was meant with the statement? That just like by nezikin, the halacha is, we look at the value of what got broken, and that belongs to the owner, and you only have to pay the difference. And what Shmuel was saying is, and Rav was moided to me. What he meant to say was, that just like by ganef and a gazlan, they have to pay for the entire damage. And the broken car, the broken vessel, belongs to the mazik, to the ganef, ava moidly to that aloha. Says the Gemara Toshma, the Hugavra, the Shol Naga Bechavri, there was a person who borrowed a hammer for somebody else, Tavra, and it broke because he didn't take care of it properly. Also, Kamei de Rav, Amalei and Rav told him, Zim Shlumle Narga Me'alya. You have to give him another hammer. It's not like we tell him, keep the broken hammer and pay the difference. Shema Mino, from here we see that ain't Shomim, says the Gemara. Ad Rabba, Mida Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asi, Dina Hakim. After this was reported, after this happened, they actually said to Rav, is this indeed the halacha? For Shosik and Rav remained silent. Isn't that a riot that Shaman, that we do actually treat it like a mazik? So says the Gemara, Itma, so what is the halacha? Amu Ula, Amu Rabbi Lazar, Shaman l'ganef l'gazlin. By ganef and a gazlin, we also have the victim keep the broken keli. Rapapi Amu ain't Shaman. We don't do so. Vilchasop ain't shaman l'ganef l'gazlin. What they have to return either cash or an equivalent to what was stolen. Avol l'shoyel shaman k'rav kahana v'rav asi, like the halacha is like Rav Ami and Rav Asi actually taught us. So since the Gemara had mentioned here halacha that Ula taught us. The Ula had told us in the name of Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara goes into some other halachas that are not really related to our sugya. The halacha is, and I always preface by saying that the halacha I'm about to say, that this is the halacha midaraisa. This is not the halacha the way we actually do nowadays. Isha ki sazria, the Torah says that if a woman has a baby boy, for the first 7 days, she's tamei no matter what. And for the next 33 days, she's tahor no matter what. But until those 33 days, or rather 40 days are up, she can't enter the Beis HaMikdash or eat kachim. By a girl, everything doubles. For the first 14 days, she's tamei no matter what. That means even if she's not seeing dam, she's tamei. And for the next 66 days, she's tor no matter what, even if she is seeing dam. And after the 80 days, she could eat kabanas. But what happens if a woman has a miscarriage? So we don't know, and there are many questions. Did she have a baby? If she had a baby, then the halachas that we just mentioned apply. Did she not have a baby? Those halachas don't apply. And this, as we just said, these halacha come with kulas and chumras. The chumrah that she's tamei no matter what for a certain amount of days. There are kulas that she's tar no matter what for a certain amount of days. And furthermore, when we're not sure what happened here, part of not being sure is did she have a baby? And also part of not being sure is was the baby that we don't know if she had one, a boy or a girl. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula Amar Belaza. Show Yishiyotza Mixas B'yoyim Rishon. A sack that had a fetus in it exited the woman's body partially on day one, Mixas B'yoyim Sheni partially from day two. Minaloi, so we have to assume that this baby is a girl. Since we have to assume that this baby is a girl, there's going to be 14 days of Tumah. Manalam and Arishan, we start counting those 14 days from day one. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, why did you pask in this way? Because you want to wait to make the maximum amount of days Tumah, 14 like a girl, not 7 like a boy. But ask Rava to Ula, actually what you did, Chumra Dosla De Kulahu, this Chumra will actually read to a Kula. Why? The Kometaris Liberation. You're starting to count from day one. But maybe, and then after 14 days after day one, you're going to say she's Tahar. But maybe we should start counting from day two. Ella Marava, Lochish Chesheshes, we have to start being concerned that she became Tamei on day one. However, Lemimni, the 14-day count only begins from day two, because maybe that's the day the baby was born, says the Gemara, my Kamashwan. So what was Ula teaching with this? The Ein Mixas Shelia B'lo Vlad, that if we see the sack emerge from the woman's body, the halacha is that we have to be machmer and treat it as there was a boy, as if there was a child, says the Gemara Tanina. But what Ula just said is a Mishnah Masech Tchulin Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. And as we explained the Gemara when we learned these types of Gemara, Ula is not here, Ula da Meira is not here to tell us what we already learned from a Tana in a Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Shilya, the Shilya of an animal, Shiyotza Mitzasoy, that partially came out, a Surah Bachila, the halacha is that if we shecht a mother, so when we shecht the mother, we're allowed to eat the baby that mother's carrying. Because the halacha is that Ube Yerachimai, that as long as the fetus is in the mother's womb, it's considered like part of the mother. And when we shecht the mother, we're allowed to eat every part of that animal. But here, the part of the shilya started coming out. So now the question is, and we shecht the mother, is that considered that the shilya is part of the mother and the shechita of the mother will work for the shilya or not? So says the Mishnah, Masech Techulin, Shilya Shiyotza Mektasa, a part of the Shilya emerged from the mother, a Surah Bachila. The Shilya is considered already an independent child that cannot become mutter to be eaten because the mother could be eaten. Because Simon Vlad B'Isha, that as soon as the Shilya comes out, that's a proof that the baby came out and it's no longer part of the mother. And Simon Vlad B'Behema, it's both by a human and by an animal. So if that is the case, then why? What is Ula coming to teach us? That when we see the shilya come out, we consider it born? Says the Gemara, that's an obvious halacha. Answers the Gemara, Imas Nisan, answers Ula, if I only had the Mishnah, have me the yes mixes shilya below vad, that a partial birth of the shilya, what part may not be eaten? The part that already emerged from the mother. But the part that's still in the mother's womb may be eaten. Gzeira. And the only reason the Mishnah says that you may not is because of Gzeira mixes ima atakula, that we're going to let you eat the part that's still inside. You may come to eat even the part that's outside. And as the Gemara explains there, the concern is not on the part that's outside. The concern is that the part of the shilya emerged from the mother and then it went back in. But as soon as it emerges, it's already considered as if it's born. Kamashma and Ula comes to teach us that the part of the shilya that didn't come out is not also to be eaten because of a gzera. It's considered as if it was maybe born. And that's a whole different halacha, that's a din d'oraisa, not just a chashash d'rabbanan. Another halacha. If a bechor of a human being, we know the halacha of bechor, we have to do a pinyan aben, and if a bechor becomes killed within 30 days from when it was born, ein poydim oisai, doesn't have a responsibility to do pinyan aben. We don't say that the obligation to do a pinyan aben comes as soon as the baby was born. And even though we don't do the pinyan aben until day 30, but the obligation comes immediately. And this baby would have survived if not for this horrible accident. Rather, the zman of the pinyan aben only comes by day 30. And since the zman of the pinyan aben only comes by day 30, if this baby, unfortunately, is no longer alive by day 30, there's no obligation for pinyan aben. What is the Torah teaching us with the words poda tifta? That if the animal died, if the person, the baby died during the 30 days, you still have to do a pinyan aben. The halach is ach chilek. That no. Only if the baby is here at day 30, there's a halacha, a pinyan aben. But if it's not here, then even though it might have survived, there's no chiv of pinyan aben. Says the Gemara, Vama Ula Amar Rav Elazar, Behema Gasa, if somebody's buying a Behema Gasa, a Shor, a Chamor, the way Behema Gasa, as we have learned, every transaction requires a Kenyan, Behema Gasa Niktas B'Mashicha, by taking the animal out of the Rishus of the seller. Ask the Gemara, Vanatanan B'Mesira, that the owner, the seller, has to actually hand it over to the buyer. Just taking it out of the rishus of the seller is inadequate, answers the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer, who said that you need to have meshicha, who dama kaitana the tanya v'chamar mezuba zuba meshicha, a behema daka and a behema gasa, the way a kinyan is done is with meshicha, v'shimra mezuba zuba agba, not with meshicha and not with mesira. Rabbi Lezer holds like the chachamim that the way to do the kinyan is with meshicha, actually bringing it into Yerushas. And the way we're learning the Gemara, it's not really our sugya today, but the way we're learning Gemara, that Meshicha is a much stronger form of a Kinyan than Mesira. And Rabbi Elazar is saying that Meshicha is what's required, Mesira is inadequate. Vama ulam Rabbi Elazar. Ha'achin shechalku, if brothers divided a Yerusha that the father left them, mashaleim, that the clothing that they have, that they wore, that they bought, the way the Rosh explains this Gemara. What we're speaking about here, the father died. So the moment the father dies, we now have an estate. When we have an estate, says the Gemara, we have to, this time until it gets divided up. So the Gemara is teaching us, they went and they bought clothing with that money. But that was the estate money. So when they now make a calculation about the estate, shaman mashaleim, shaman mashaleim, we have to, shachalku mashaleim, shaman, we have to evaluate what that is worth, and that has to be all taken in into the calculation. But it's interesting, the Rishonim point out, what happens if they had clothing, and that clothing got worn out? So the Rishonim say clothing that got worn out and they're not wearing anymore, they're moichel each other on that clothing and it's not taken into consideration. However, says the Gemara, mashal b'neim u'b'neiseim, what their children are wearing ain't shaman. They don't bring, it's uncommon to bring children to Besdin, bring the family to the Besdin. And the way most Rishonim Rashi, most Rishonim Tosis learn, so the dafka, so the moichel the children and the why and the family to come, and that doesn't get into the calculation. There's an interesting machlokes Rishonim. When we say that, that the children, the clothing that the children and the family are wearing are not taken into consideration, what does that mean? Does it mean all the clothing that they have? Or does it mean just the clothing that, does it just mean the clothing that they're wearing during the week? But Shabbos clothing, they don't have to come to Beis Din. It was saying the entire reason we don't do a calculation on the clothing that the children and family are wearing is because we don't want to schlep them to Beis Din. But maybe this is not schlep to Beis Din. We're just going to bring the clothing. They're wearing the weekday clothing. So they say it's machlokes rishonim. Amar papa, pum af shema shalem ein shamim. Sometimes even what the adult children are wearing, we don't do an evaluation. When, says the Marab, Mishkach Slav God Lachi, the oldest brother, the Nichlehu, the Lishtamin Mila, they want that this oldest brother who's taking care of the business affairs should be treated with respect. How is that accomplished? The way that's accomplished is by wearing nice clothing. And of course, the Miri points out, it doesn't mean the oldest brother. What the Gemara means here is the brother who's taking care of the business affairs. Moreover, the Shach says that this halacha that we're learning in the Gemara isn't only about weekday clothing, where we want this brother who's running the business affair to look put together, that people should respect him, but even Shabbos clothing, because a person is judged by his appearance. So even though Shabbos, this brother, who's the one that's running the business affairs, is not doing any business, but he has to be looked put together so during the week he'll get the respect. Says the Gemara, Shomer shemos l'shomer. If a shomer was asked to watch something, and he gave it to another shomer, potter, then he's potter, because it's not considered a pshia. A shomer, every shomer, is responsible for pshia, but I gave it to another responsible party, so I'm not considered a pesheya. Says the Gemara, v'loy mebayu b'shem echirim shemas l'shem esachar. The level of shmira that a shem esachar is obligated is much higher, stricter, than the level of a shem echinam. So if I was a shem echinam, and now I gave it over to shem esachar, I actually increased the level of shmira. The liya alayah l'shmira, sorry, I've increased the level of shmira. Elafim l'shem esachar shemas l'shem echinam. The hashta geruah nama. I lowered the level. Till now, I was a Shem Asachar who's chay for Geneva Veda. And now I gave it to Shem Echinam who is not chay for Geneva Veda. But at the end of the day, says the Gemara, I'm Mosul Bein Das. Says the Gemara, Ravam and Rava disagrees. Shem is a Mosul Shem Echayiv. If one Shemer gave it over to another Shemer, he will be held responsible. And says the Gemara, V'lami boy Shem Asachar Shemosul Shem Echinam. If a Shem Asachar gave it to Shem Echinam, so certainly he should be held responsible. The reason that he should be held, the Guri Graham Mishmrasa, he downgraded the Shmira. First it was by a Shem Asachar who's Chai for Geneva Veda, and now it's by a Shem Echinam who's not Chai for Geneva Veda. Ella says the Gemara, feel Shem Echinam, Shemosul Shem Asachar, that so he can make an argument, I upgraded the Shmira, he's still going to be Chayiv. Damalei, because the person who owns the object that's being watched could say, Ad mehemnes li b'shvua, and hay lo mehemnes li b'shvua. As we're going to learn, under certain circumstances, the halacha demands that if something happened to what I'm watching, I would have to make a shvua. And since the halacha demands, under certain circumstances, that I would have to make a shvua, so the person whose object is being watched can make a claim that I trust this person, even though he's only a shem echinam when he makes a shvua, and I don't trust the other person, even though he's a shem esachar. And therefore, it's not just a function of how much responsibility you have, and a shem echinam has less, a shem esachar has more responsibility than a shem echinam. There's other factors to take consideration. The other factor is, who do I trust more? And it's very possible that I trust this person more than that person, even though he's a Shem Echinam and he's a Shem Asachar, and therefore a Shomer has never the right, says Rava, to give it over to a different Shomer.